This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we want to be more aware of you than anything else. We want to turn our eyes on Jesus. We want to look full in his wonderful face. Thank you, Lord, that your glory is filling the whole earth. Every eye is going to see you. Every heart is going to burn, Lord, as you are seen. Every man, every woman is going to know why they were created. Lord, for your glory and your pleasure and your honor. Lord, thank you. Thank you, our God. Thank you, God. Lord, as we open your word together, I pray open our hearts, open our eyes, Lord. Open our understanding. Let our hearts burn, Lord, within us as you are already talking to us. I pray continue, Lord. I pray, Lord, as I speak, Lord, that you would give me utterance, that you would give me understanding, Lord, to be able to declare, Lord, what you've put within my heart. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just want to read out of Psalm 45. Psalm 45. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one. With your glory and your majesty, and in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. King's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house, so the king will greatly desire your beauty. Because he is your Lord, worship him. And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore the people shall praise you forever and ever. Hallelujah. How do you start to describe something which is indescribable? I want to talk about what God is doing and what he has done in Christ Jesus. You know that we're called the church. You know the church is the bride of Christ. I'm going to talk about something, and you might laugh, that I've got no understanding of. I want to talk about childbirth. Yeah, laugh. Yeah, laugh, really. You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah that says this: shall a man give birth? And the prophet's crying out, shall a man give birth? Why is it that I'm seeing every man with his hands upon his loins like a woman in birth? God's wanting to birth something in the earth. He's wanting to birth something in this church. He's wanting to birth something in yours and my life. And it's not going to be an easy process. It's not going to be a pleasant process. It's not going to be a process that we understand. I remember when Bev went in to give birth, and I'm there, and no understand what she's going through. These contractions that are coming, and the pain, and the all that she was going through. But, you know, God uses that. He uses that. You know, when God brings something to birth in the earth, He uses that term. He'll do something new. And we think that we know what it's going to do. You know, we'd love to have everything down pat, wouldn't you? Just give me the formula, God. That's all I need. And He doesn't do it that way. He doesn't give us a nice plan and a formula so that we can outwork it in a decent sort of way. He bursts something in us. And I think this process is hidden right throughout the whole of the scripture. You go right back to the Garden of Eden, and He says to the woman about her sorrow in bringing forth children would be multiplied, that in sorrow that she would bring forth children. But the promise to her was that her seed would crush Satan's head. And we know that that is Jesus Christ. Do we all know that? That's Jesus Christ. He has done it. But when I read Psalm 45 there, I don't know what you see, but I see a queen. I see a church who is so one with her Saviour, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is risen from the dead. And He's seated at the right hand of God. What is He waiting for? What is He waiting for? The Bible says He will see of the travail of His soul, and He will be satisfied. There's something in that mystery of a man and a woman coming together, and the promise of God that your seed is going to be a God-man who will deal with devil finally and completely. And I believe that there's something that God is wanting to birth within us, birth within His church. He said, as surely as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What does that mean? People need to see Jesus Christ. If you don't see Jesus, you know, the greatest revelation that has ever been given has been given to us. It's Jesus Christ. You can't get any greater revelation. He is God. And it's that revelation that changes us. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in His bosom which transfigures you as me, you and me, as He died to make men holy. Do you believe that? I don't believe there is any man who cannot be made holy. I don't care what they have been through. There is no man, no woman that Jesus Christ cannot make holy. His blood will do it. As He died to make men holy, so be it. Let us live to make men free. His truth is marching on. He will never sound a trumpet of retreat. That purpose He is going to fulfill. This world needs to see the glory of the Lord. They need to see Jesus Christ. So it's out of that context when I would be disparaging of what we do within our churches, Woe, put it down. They don't want to see us, the great things that we can do. They must see Jesus Christ. And the only way that's going to happen is if it's birthed within his church. He is the only one that can change a man. Not all our great programs, not all our great worship, not all our great teaching. It is Jesus Christ. He must be seen. He must be seen. But if he's going to be seen, you're going to have to be out of the picture. I'm going to have to be out of the picture. And so when I read Psalm 45, I see a church. This, listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own. Isn't that what happened when a man and a woman get married? Maybe not so much today. We have to find out if we're compatible. We have to find out if we got the same interests. You have to find out all this stuff. But when I read the scripture, this is what I see in the church. And when Paul is trying to encourage marriages, he said, look to Jesus Christ and look to the church. He gave himself for her that he might wash her and cleanse her and present her faultless. And I see a church that not only has been cleansed, but has the same fire in her heart, in her breast, that burns within her husband. The same vision, the same fire. So that when you look at the church, you can't see any difference between the church and Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God looks like, look to Jesus Christ. If you want to know what Jesus Christ looks like, look to the church. She's got the same passion. She's got the same power. She's got the same purpose. That's what I see God is going to birth in the earth. But it's going to take, there are labor pains that are coming on. Have you ever read the scripture where Jesus is talking about the troubles and the wars and the tribulations and all these things coming? Do you know what he describes them as? He describes them as labor pains. He describes them as labor pains. And as I said, they're not pleasant. They can't be ordered. I couldn't say to Bev, get a grip on yourself and just do it this way. All I can say is encourage her in it. Push, 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 push. I feel that in my spirit. I feel it in my spirit. Bruce had a word for this church a while back. And I was quite blown away because he had a scripture in Isaiah 66. I was at a point where I was thinking, you know, I can't do this, God. I can't do it. And I was seeking God, and he gave me that scripture the week before Bruce had that prophetic word over the church. And I don't think it's just this church. I think it's his church worldwide. I think it's his church, particularly in my heart and mind in Australia, that there are labour pains coming upon the church. And he said, shall I bring, but let me quote it properly, I'll read it, Isaiah 66. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord. Isn't it amazing how God's the one that knows the time, isn't he? You know, how many ladies were up 3 o'clock in the morning heading off to the labour ward or wherever it was? And wouldn't you love it if you just had a easy, quick time? Some have long, drawn-out times. For some, it's life-threatening. And they're everyone different. But I know there are labour pains coming. And so when I saw that, it was like God showed me all the troubles that different ones were going through, and even with myself, what I was going through, their labour pains. They're coming, and they're going to increase, because God wants to birth something in the earth. He said, as surely as he lives, all the earth is going to be filled with his glory. Filled. And he's going to do that through his church. Through his bride, who is so one with him. Forgotten your father. Forgotten your own household. Forgotten everything else. All gone. And it's now his purpose has become our purpose. And when that happens, his passion will become our passion. And when that happens, his power will become our power. Isn't that what happens in a marriage? What a miracle when a man and a woman are joined and they become one heart, one soul. It's like they can speak the same thing. Well, they do. And there's such an authority and power there. God's going to do that in the church. I believe it. So these labour pains are coming upon the church. And so when I and Bruce had that word over the church, he's brought to the time of delivery, the time of birth, shall I not cause delivery, says the Lord. Shall I who cause delivery shut up the worm? Well, praise God, he's doing it. He won't shut up the worm. But there are labour pains. And they're coming, and they're going to come more and more. And then God took me to a king who I greatly admire, King Hezekiah. He had a father who caused all of Judah and Jerusalem to totally turn away from the Lord. He actually even sacrificed his own sons in the fire. That's how bad they were getting. He'd gone to different nations and he liked the way they set up their altars and did the same things, ended up doing the same thing as the nations. And so he led all of Judah and Jerusalem into idolatry, into just self-serving, trying to find a way. And his son Hezekiah is brought to the kingdom the more trouble his father Ahaz got into, the more trouble his father got into, the more he turned away from the Lord. So instead of the trouble, labour pains, causing to turn to God, he turned away and became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. And then when Hezekiah, his son, was brought to the kingdom, the first thing he does was he opens the doors of the temple. Who's the temple? I love that scripture. Open wide the doors and the King of Glory will come in. I know he's already done that. He's ascended on high. And the doors of glory were open high. But there's doors in the church as well. We're gatekeepers. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gateway of heaven. The King of Glory, you know, those angels ascending up and down from heaven to earth. And we're the ones that keep it open. Incredible. Anyway. So Hezekiah opens the door of the temple. I shouldn't get into it. He opens the door of the temple. First thing he does in the first year, first month of his reign, he opens the door. Then he gathers all the Levites. You've got to remember, the Levites were to minister to the Lord. But because Israel had gone away from the Lord, because they stopped serving him, the Levites were actually dependent on the tithes being brought to the temple of God to actually do that. And so they weren't doing that, obviously. So Hezekiah grabbed them all and he brought them and he said this to them. He said, my sons, don't be negligent. You know, negligence, just a little... It's a pretty innocent word, isn't it? But it can have such far-reaching effects. Don't be negligent, my sons. God has chosen you to stand before him. awesome privilege to minister to him, to burn incense and minister to him. What's that talk? What is that? What is that? Worship, yeah, obedience. It's our giving ourselves over to him, praying, doing, finding out what he wants, finding out his heart for a start, and his purpose and his passion. And it's then that interaction there. So he says, God's chosen you to do that. And so he sets this up, and a revival starts taking place. They clean out the temple. They bring all the order of worship back into the temple. They start praising God again. They start offering the offerings that they were supposed to offer. People were getting excited about God again, and it was a real revival. And as this is going on, it starts to affect Judah, and it starts to even go further afield into Israel, into right around, and it's affecting the whole nation. And there's opposition, that's understandable, but it's still working. But it comes to a stage where a king, an Assyrian king, comes against Jerusalem to put a stop to this, well, actually to conquer the land. And the king of Assyria sends his commander-in-chief with this vast army, and they come right up to the wall of Jerusalem and speak to everybody there and said, don't let Hezekiah deceive you into thinking that God will deliver you, because there's no God of any other nation that is delivered from my hand. And he said, don't let him deceive you. And he mocked them. He said, look, I'll give you 2,000 horses if you on your part are able to put riders on them. And you're thinking about being able to defend yourself against me? That's how outnumbered they were. Hezekiah told the people, don't answer him a word. And so he mocks them. And I can imagine what he's telling them. He said, you guys, you're going to end up eating and drinking your own waste. That's quite a serious kind of threat. And very real. I don't know how you'd feel about that in that kind of a circumstance. But he said, don't answer him a word. And he went away. And then Hezekiah gets before, he actually cries out to the prophet Isaiah. And he calls him. He's got sackcloth on, dust on his head. He's torn his clothes. He's wearing sackcloth, which is an Old Testament sign of humility. And because you're going to have to get before God. And he calls Isaiah and he said, pray for us. But he said this interesting thing. He said, this is a day of blasphemy, trouble and rebuke. The children have been brought to the birth, but there's not the strength to deliver them. Where does strength come from? From God. I believe there has to be a supernatural strength that we've got to lay hold of. When I look at the Book of Acts Church, and you can look at all the things that they did. You can look, okay, they had communion. All the time, they met together in houses. They're praying all the time. They devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. In other words, whatever they were told, they did it. And they were continually giving thanks to God. And because that's it. If you do that, you'll be right. We'll build a great church. No, you won't. What was it that really got a hold of that church? I believe it was the labour pains of Jesus Christ to birth what only God can do in the hearts of men and women. Remember, he said at one stage, I've got a baptism to be baptised with, and how I am straitened, how I am constricted until this is complete. He was birthing something. And it cost him his life to do it. But he burst something of the Spirit of God in that place. It wasn't an outward work of you just pray, you just do this and you just do that, do all those things and you'll have success or whatever it may be. No, he had to birth something in them. And so you see a church coming together where he's made them a promise and say, he's risen from the dead and he said to them, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. What were they doing? Were they looking for methods or formulas of how to be successful? I don't believe that. I believe that there was a birthing pangs come upon them as well. For what God wanted to do, they were so gripped. They forgot their father's house. I mean, they were in fear and we've got no other place to go. We've got nothing else to live for. But they had to lay a hold of that for which God had laid a hold of them. That's what I want to see come upon the church. And it's not going to be nice. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be like labour pains upon a woman because God's wanting to birth something. Just want to finish with this. In Revelation chapter 12, and reading from verse 1, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Think about this woman, and you know, people say this is fulfilled already. I believe it's yet to be fulfilled. Then being with child, she cried out in labour and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 3.5 years, the same length of time that the beast is let loose. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven anymore. Do you know that the church has been called to that warfare? To bring forth what God wants. And we're called to a warfare in that way. It's this warrior bride that I read about in Psalm 45. It's this warrior bride that has... And I've always had a fascination for war until I got smart and realised you're going to get hurt in it. But maybe God allowed that to get my focus that way. But I see... Over the years, I've had this thing in Scripture. I see it all throughout Scripture. And I remember reading something in the Old Testament, in Exodus, talking about when Israel came out of Egypt, that God was described as a man of war. And it was like God said, I'm not a God of war. So what's the context? It's a man who will rise up and fight for his bride. And no one's going to stand in the way. No one's going to get in the way. He will give everything that he has. And that's why I see in Christ for his church. No devil could stop him. He was alone when he fought for us. No devil could stop him. He won such a victory And I want to see a church, his bride, with the same heart, the same mind. That's what I read when I read Psalm 45. I see that picture. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. My tongue is the tongue of a ready rider. I'm going to see this warrior bride with the same heart that her husband has, to see people saved, to see people brought out of darkness into his marvelous light, that no matter what it costs, we're willing. Yes, there will be suffering. Yes, but you know, we're to suffer by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes a difference. Can we just pray? And we just respond as Mary responded. Let it be unto us according to your word, Lord. Each one of us in this place and in your church, in this nation. Thank you, Lord, that you've said it, you will do it. But Lord, we don't want to be just standing there and, as it were, unwilling or just resigned or just given over. But Lord, we want our heart to burn with that which burns within your heart. Lord, no, that's why the pouring out of the Holy Spirit is so important. It's your passion. It's your power. It's your fire. Lord, that's what we ask for in our hearts. That we're not trying to imitate you. We're not trying to copy you. We're not trying to be like you. But we are one with you. O mighty Christ, come forth in me. Come forth in us. My will, our way, we yield to you. Take all that we are, Lord, and let your fire burn within us, that people would see Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for what you are doing. I thank you for those labor pains that are coming on the church, Lord, that you are bringing to birth all that you have spoken in this nation, Lord. Lord, thank you for raising up laborers, Lord, with your heart, with your fire, with your passion, Lord. We pray for the church, Lord, that you have set watchmen on the walls and are not going to hold their peace. They're not going to be silent. But God, continually pray that, Lord, that which you've spoken over your church, you will bring to pass. Bring it to pass in each one of our lives, Lord. Let your passion, your fire burn within us. We ask this in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.com.